You can be turning to 2 Peter. Just get ready there. That's where we're going to be starting out. But believers, for the most part, we've been lax in knowing what the Word of God says. Some of us have been praying in tongues. Some of us have been fasting. Some of us have been worshiping. Some of us have been trying to apply the keys to our lives that we know how to apply. But when it comes to the Word of God and meditation of the Word, sometimes we forget about that and we just go to it in times of need, like for a quick fix. Well, we have access through the Word of God to His wisdom and His fire. So, a lot of believers, because they haven't really gotten serious about reading the Word, we've become laxed. And that's not a good place to be in. Because when we're in that spot of being lax, complacent, and we think, okay, my family's okay, everything's going smooth, you know, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all happy, you know, that's really not a good place for us to be in. That's really a dangerous spot for us to be in, because the enemy can come in real subtly, and that's how he usually comes into our lives, is subtly, and he will try to destroy you that way. Or he could come up and just blindside you, just come up and just almost like would feel like a 2x4 and just whack you upside the head and you just go reeling, not knowing what hit you. The enemy can come in either way. And because of that, you know, it's not good. How are you going to react when he does that to you? And it'll happen. When he does that to you, how are you going to react? What are you going to react with? Some of you might say, well, bless God, I'm just going to make a stand. Okay, that's good. You should make a stand. But let me ask you something. What are you going to make a stand with if you haven't put anything on the inside of you to stand with?
Right.
There is a simplicity to faith. It's simply believing God. But how are you going to believe God if you haven't put anything on the inside of you? You have to have a knowledge, a working knowledge of the Word of God in your life. And the only way you can get a working knowledge of the Word in your life is to read the Word and to meditate on it. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As you read the Word, you'll begin to realize that this is God's heart, His will, and His mind for your life, for you as an individual. How can we know these things? How can we know His heart? How can we know His will? How can we know what He has for us? Unless we get in there and start reading the Word. It's just like school. Grade school. High school. College. The master's program. You know, if you don't get in there and study, you don't get in there and read your textbooks, most likely, unless you have one of those photographic memories, which I don't, but unless something like that, you're going to flunk the course. You're going to flunk the grade. It's the same way with the things of God. It's the same way with the Word of God. If you don't get in there and learn what's in it and apply it to your life, you're going to flunk. And when that evil day comes, you're not going to have anything on the inside of you to stand with. You're going to be scrambling, thinking, oh my God, oh my God, oh, what? I need to find a scripture here to stand on. It doesn't work that way. You have to be prepared. That's the whole reason of our Christian walk, is to prepare ourselves and become mature. When you're trying to believe God for something, you have to have something to hang on to. And the Word of God is our lifeline. You have to give your faith something to adhere to. And the only thing your faith will adhere to is the Word of God. So you have to have the Word in your life. Okay, 2 Peter, first verse. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God in Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these things you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in us through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. We'll stop there for the moment. There's a lot just in that section of Scripture. Now me, being the teacher that I am, I like to go in and amplify it. I like to go in and look up certain words. I want to clarify things. And I do this a lot in Scripture. I might not do a whole passage or something like that, but I like to get it down to where I can understand it plain English. And if there are certain words that I'm not sure about meanings, I kind of know, I want to go in there and just even clarify it all the more. So, between the dictionary and the Amplified Bible, I'm going to go over this again so you can get a clearer picture of what Peter is talking about to believers. In verse 2, God's favor and perfect well-being and freedom from all fear be multiplied to you in the acquired understanding of God and Jesus our Lord. Meaning, you have to go and secure possession of this understanding of God and Jesus for yourself. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through possessing understanding of Him who called us by great distinction and moral excellence. There are conditions in the Word of God that have to be met in order for you to possess the promises. Now, to possess this God's favor, perfect well-being, and freedom from all fear, to possess these things, you have to understand who God and Jesus are to you. I have to understand who He is to me. Because when the revelation of who Jesus and who God is to you becomes alive in you, then you will have freedom from all fear, you will have perfect well-being, and you will have God's favor. But you have to learn how You have to understand. You have to go in there and gain that understanding. You have to possess it. You know what it is to possess it? You have to go out there and grab it for yourself. You have to work at it. Do you understand? You have to work at it. You have to go get it. Possess it. Just like anything in your life, if you had determined to make your, to have a business for yourself and to be a success, you would have to go out there and possess it. You would do everything in your power to make sure you became a success. It's the same thing with the Word of God and the things in the Word of God. They're just not going to fall on you. You have to go out there and possess it, grab hold of it, and make it your own. Understand? Okay, verse 4. By which have been given to us extraordinary, great, and precious promises. That means the Word of God. That through these great and precious promises, you may be partakers of a born-again spirit, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust and greed. When you get born again, you get to escape the corruption of the world because you are now born again. You have a new nature on the inside of you. But also for this very reason, adding to your painstaking effort, exercise your faith in developing moral excellence. To moral excellence, possessing understanding. To possessing understanding, exercise authority over yourself. To exercising authority over yourself, keep persisting in a purpose despite the obstacles. To persisting in a purpose despite the obstacles, devotion to God. To devotion to God, being warm-hearted, friendly, and generous. And to being warm-hearted, friendly, and generous, God's love for mankind. For if these qualities are yours and are fully supplied, you will be neither unproductive or not producing results in possessing understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is spiritually short-sighted, seeing only what is near to him, and has become oblivious of the fact that he was cleansed from his old sins. Meaning, they are carnal, and they are letting their flesh control their walk. He's wanting us to grow up. He's wanting us to become mature believers in the body of Christ, because he needs mature believers to advance the kingdom of God. You don't want to stay a baby all your life. What if your child stayed a baby all their life and all you did was change diapers, feed formula? You'd get pretty tired of it, wouldn't you? It's the same way in the kingdom of God. God doesn't want to be changing diapers all the time, putting band-aids on hangnails. There's a point in our Christian walk, and we're all at different stages, but there's at a point at everyone's walk that you have to grow up, and you never stop growing. You never stop growing. You continually keep advancing forward and growing and gaining wisdom and gaining knowledge. Therefore, brethren, be even more eager and keep using painstaking effort to strengthen and make steadfast your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. It says, keep using painstaking effort to strengthen and make steadfast your calling. That means it's not going to be easy. That means you are going to have challenges in your path while you are fulfilling your call and walking your call out for God. Satan doesn't want any of us to fulfill our call. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not ignore or fail to give proper attention to remind you always of these things, though you know them and are established in the truth that you now hold. Peter is trying to get across to them the importance of gaining knowledge of Jesus to these believers. He's warning them to keep a close watch on their personal lives. The Christian life demands diligence in pursuing these qualities. What qualities? These qualities. Diligence, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. These are qualities that we all need to be walking in our lives. But if we don't take the time to immerse ourselves in the Word of God and find these things out, we're not going to grow and we're not going to know these things. I am here today to remind you, just like Peter, of these things that you already know. What I'm telling you is nothing new. You know these things. And just like Brother Charlie's been saying, for the past 10 years, we have been laying a foundation in your lives up here, a foundation for you to be building on, digging down deep into, showing you the way into God just because you want to go there on purpose. On purpose, you want to go there. I think that's so cool that on purpose you can do these things just because you want to. Just because you have a desire and a hunger for God. Nobody's stopping you from going as far and as deep as you can into God. Nobody is stopping you. Nobody is stopping me. The only one that stops us is ourselves. You can't get these things, all these things, in your pastor's messages once or twice a week. You can't get all this stuff by special meetings or camp meetings or things you go to. I mean, this stuff helps. It helps. But you have to get in there for yourself. If you're not willing to change, if you're not willing to do something different than what you've been doing in the past, your life is not going to change. Your life will stay the same or get worse. At some point, you're going to have to stop. I'm going to have to stop. We're going to have to stop and do the message. It takes more than wishing. It takes more than hoping. You know, I wish it takes more than laying hands on you. I wish I could lay hands on every single one of you, and at that point of contact, you just received everything you needed for the rest of your life. You just became a super spiritual person. All the gifts in operation, everything, just bam. But you know what? It doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. Laying on of hands will help break a few things off of your life to give you enough of a glimmer in there for you to keep going or to get going again. It will do that. But then the ultimate responsibility still comes down to us. We have to take that and we have to start doing. We have to start doing the word. It's not the hearers only that are blessed. It's the hearer who does the word, the hearer who does the message that is blessed. See, it takes personal relationship and a determination to read the word and to meditate on it. Not just read it, but to meditate on it, to think about it. Okay? I like to read. I like to read a lot. I love historical novels. I love autobiographies. I can just totally, totally get lost in bookstores and in a book. When I was a kid growing up and in grade school, we had these book clubs, I think Scholastic Readers or something like that. But anyway, where kids could, you know, order books on a monthly basis. And I would always order books from that thing. And I'd order more than one book because I loved to read. Even as a kid, I just loved to read. My Saturdays, I would get a book and I'd just read. Yeah, play outside too if the weather was nice. But, you know, in the wintertime, I would read. And I still love that. I have three bookcases at home filled with books. Three. And I've read some of those books more than once, some of them two and three times. You get the picture, I like to read. Anyway, I can get so caught up in these books that I just immerse myself in them. I immerse myself into that story. We can be sitting there and Brother Charlie could be watching a TV program and I've got my nose in a book and I will be totally oblivious to everything going around me. I won't even know what is going on the TV because I am just so engrossed in this story. And to the point of where even, you know, when I'm out and about or at work sometimes I'll get to thinking about, I wonder what's going to happen next. What's going to happen? You know, is this going to happen or is that going to happen, you know? You get the picture? I immersed myself into these stories. Well, one evening, I was sitting in the living room, and clear as a bell, God said to me, he said, you need to immerse yourself in the Word of God the way you immerse yourself in your novels. You talk about setting me back on my heels. And it's like, whoa. You know, it's not that I didn't read the Word. I did read the Word. But I wasn't immersing myself in the Word. I wasn't in there just gaining knowledge, digging for the Word like a pearl of great price, digging in and sinking myself into it and reading it and meditating upon it and just totally letting myself be absorbed by it. He said, I want you to do that with the Word of God. So, I started doing that. Now, I didn't just cold turkey, you know, go and cut myself off. I didn't do that. I started cutting back on the novels. I quit the novels and stuff, but I was starting to read, quote unquote, more biographies about men and women of God. Okay, I was reading a little bit about their lives there, but I had increased the Word of God. Okay, I got myself to a point of where I just quit reading those books and I'm totally immersing myself in the Word. Well, he told me, he said, you know what? He said, the Bible, he said, you love history. You love epic novels. He said, the Word of God, this Bible is an epic novel. These are people's lives I have moved in. This is history. This happened. He said, as you immerse yourself in this, he said, it will bring faith and hope into your heart because you're going to see how I moved among the people. You're going to see how Jesus walked among the people here on this earth, doing good, healing all that were oppressed. And unless you immerse yourself like that and get into the Word like that and let it come alive in you like that, you're not going to know that he wants to do the same things through you. That what he did for these men and women in the Word of God, he is no respecter of person. He's going to move, he wants to move through you and work through you in the same way and do even more through you than what he did even then. So like I said, I started cutting myself off from things. There was one day that I decided, oh, I'm just going to get a small little book, a small novel, and I'm just going to, you know, just kind of for some light reading, what I call light reading, you know. And he said, why don't you just start reading in the Old Testament? He said, there's some really good stories in there. He said, go read about somebody's life in the Old Testament, you know. So I did. And now I'm caught up in the life of King David because he started asking me questions about David's life. And when he asks you questions like that, he kind of wants you to go find out the answers to them, you know. So I've started, you know, doing that, immersing myself into that section of history, that portion of the Word of God, looking at things in David's life as compared to how it relates to our lives. And it's really interesting. That'll come at a later date, though. There's nothing wrong. Now, don't get me wrong here. There is nothing wrong with other books or other things unless they're consuming your life. This doesn't mean I will never ever read another novel. It just means at this time in my life, I'm laying things aside, okay, because of something else that I want much, much more at this time. We all have to make decisions in our lives. We all have to get our priorities straight, no matter what area of our life it's in. So, how am I, or how are you, going to get God's image of God in you without knowing or without possessing what the Word says? Okay, let's continue in verse 13. In verse 13, Peter continues telling them that it's right for him to stir them up because he knows his time is coming very quickly where he's going to be martyred. In verse 16, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain." Peter is stating that we didn't come to you with some kind of story or myth or fairy tale. We came to you in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were there. Peter was there. Peter was an eyewitness along with James and John to Jesus and all of his glory and all of his splendor and all of his majesty. Peter saw it. So when he's saying this, he said, "We're just not coming to you in some kind of made up story here. I was there. I saw this along with James and John." And you can go back and read this account in three of the Gospels. I'm not going to tell you where they're at. You just go look them up. But they're in three of the Gospels. So you can go look up this what he's referring back to, the Transfiguration. Verse 19, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Jesus is the living word. You now have that word, the written word, that you need to heed. It's a light to your path, a hope that will turn to faith, as you allow the Holy Spirit to bring the revelation of Jesus Christ, the morning star, alive in your heart. As we immerse ourselves, the Holy Spirit confirms the word in our heart." Just like Peter, he saw Jesus in his glory. Just like Peter, we see the moves of the Spirit. We have his inner witness. We have his voice on the inside of us. But we always go back to the written word, because these things, the things that we see or hear, always, always, always need to line up with the word of God. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, or if it's out of context, stay away from it. It has to line up with the word of God. Peter goes on in his letter to warn believers about the rest of the book. There's only three chapters, about false teachers and about false doctrines, and to beware. It's no different than what we have going on today. Unless you know the Word of God, you know what the Word says, you're going to be pulled off the path and you're going to be led down by the devil with a ring in your nose, these false things, and he's going to delay your walk when you get pulled off. Now, if that happens and you realize it, hey, you repent, you turn, you get back on the path, and you continue. Praise God that it doesn't matter how many times we might make a wrong turn or get confused, we can get right back on the path when we repent, and we can keep going. We learn from our experience, and we keep going. That's the beauty of this gospel and of Jesus. We just keep going. Okay, let's see. Smith Wigglesworth. I know a lot of you are probably familiar with him, but he was a mighty apostle of God. He lived during the 1800s through the early 1900s. He didn't get through grade school because he had to quit school when he was 7 years old and go to work with his dad to help support the family. That's just mind-boggling to me, because we don't think about things like that, how things were way back then, you know, how tough. But can you imagine your 7-year-old quitting school and going to work with you just so the family can survive? Anyway, because of this, he wasn't able to finish his education, but eventually he became a plumber. After he got married, his wife taught him how to read, and his textbook was the Bible. That is what she taught him to read from, is from the Bible. So that was the only thing he ever read, was the Bible. That was it. He didn't read a newspaper. He didn't read a book. He didn't read any of it. The only thing he ever, ever read was the Word of God. Because of immersing himself in the Word continually and meditating on it, and allowing the Holy Spirit to teach him, he gained a deep understanding of God and his ways. I have read a lot of books on the life of Smith Wigglesworth, and I have read several of his sermons, and he taught the same things that I have heard come out of Dave Roberson's mouth, Lester Sumrall's mouth, Kenneth Hagin Sr.'s mouth, some other of these men and women of God. I have heard the same thing. And you know why? Because they all tapped into the same vein through the Holy Spirit. They allowed the Holy Spirit to bring the true revelation and the Word of God to life in them. That is why. That is why. When Wigglesworth read the Word constantly, this gave the Holy Spirit something to work with in his life. It increased his faith to believe. Because of his diligence, his painstaking effort to understand the Word, and praying in other tongues. Yes, he believed in praying in other tongues. He believed in fasting more than one meal a day. He believed in worship, and if he wanted to worship God, it didn't matter if there was anybody in the room or if there were 10 or 20 people in the room. He would just say, "Let's worship God," and raise his hands and start singing and worshiping. It didn't matter to him, because the only thing that mattered to him was Jesus. The only thing that mattered to him was Jesus, because he had that confidence in him because of the Word. A strong anointing rested on his life. A strong anointing rested upon his life because of this. Do you realize that the anointing is not an it? The anointing is not a bird, a dove that comes into your life. The anointing is a person. The anointing is the third person of the Godhead. The anointing is the Holy Spirit. He is a whole separate person in the Godhead. We have the Father, we have Jesus, and we have the Holy Spirit. So he's just not this vapor out there that hovers above Jesus. He is a person, and when we get to heaven, we're going to actually get to meet and see him in person. Even though he is in our life right now. If we allow him, that is, to be in our lives. Wigglesworth had a deep, intimate, personal relationship with his God. His whole thing to his ministry was only believe. Only believe. And you know what? This type of relationship that he had is available to every single one of us. We can have it too. But it comes with a price. It means your life. It's your life. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There are Christians all over this world that are being held captive. They're being held captive in their thoughts. They have strongholds of the mind. They're confused. They're thinking, I need to hear the voice of God. I can't hear the voice of God because of all this clamor in their minds. So how are we to guard against this? The Lord has provided us with weapons. The Lord has provided us with weapons that are mighty through Him. And it's the Word of God. It will bring into captivity those thoughts. If you will immerse yourself in the Word and meditate on the Word, it will bring peace. It will bring these thoughts into captivity. It will show you and reinforce on the inside of you His heart, His will, and His mind for you. Again, if you don't know the Word of God, how are you going to make a stand? Okay, let's go to John 16. Verse 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, and He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has, He gave to Jesus. And Jesus in turn turned around and gave it all to us. And He said He would send us the Holy Spirit, who would take these things that He saw and heard the Father say and saw, and declare them unto us. Everything. But how are you going to know that if you don't get in there and read the Word? The Holy Spirit was given to us as a teacher, and He is not going to deviate from the Word of God. There is a place in God through power in the Holy Spirit that He will reign supreme in our life if we will allow Him to do it. Mark 16, verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in My name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Before Jesus went to heaven, He told His disciples that they would receive power through the Holy Spirit to continue His ministry upon this earth. The power of the Holy Spirit wasn't just for the apostles or a chosen few. It was for everyone who would believe, including us 2,000 years later. So how are you going to know these things if you don't get in the Word? Luke 4. Starting at verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. There is forgiveness of sins. There is healing of diseases. There is the captives of torments are set free. Broken hearts are mended, the fullness of the Spirit, everything. It all comes from one source, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But again, how are you going to know these things if you don't get in the Word and find out for yourself? How are you going to be instant, in season, and out of season, if you aren't reading the Word? You say, well, I don't have time to sit and read the Word. I don't have time to pray in tongues. I don't have time to worship. You don't have time not to. I'm too busy. I have this going on, and I have that going on. You don't understand. My husband, he doesn't like me to go off by myself and do the stuff. He wants me to be doing my housework, and he wants me to be doing this and that. Or the wife might say, well, no, I want him just to be with me. Or he has yard work to do. Or, you know, I've got this to do. I have to run the kids here, or I have to run the kids there. Or, you know, there's always some excuse. There's excuses, or I'm too tired. Oh, I just don't feel like it. I'm too tired. I'm too worn out. You know, there's all kinds of excuses. All kinds of excuses. Believe me, I can come up with a ton of excuses for myself on top of it. You know, and the list will go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. You know, I totally understand. I really do understand, because my life is busy also. Our lives are busy, period. But you know what? I call this the Martha syndrome. Let's go over to Luke 10. Starting at verse 38. Now it happened, as they went, he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Martha was distracted and taking on the care of everything. She had a house full of people. Jesus was there. His disciples were there. All these other people were probably just standing around outside. You probably could see people for as far as you could see. You know, and she's having to feed all these people. And it's like, oh, what am I going to do? You know, and here's Mary sitting over here at his feet, listening to him talk, listening to him teach, continue to teach. And she gets upset about it. And she's up there going, I could just see him, Jesus, Jesus, excuse me a minute, Jesus, Mary needs to be helping me. You know, we have all this stuff that needs to be done. You're here, disciples, we need to, you know, pass out the wine and the water and the food. You know, we have to be doing this stuff. Tell her to help me. Tell her to help me. Well, Jesus said Mary chose what was, you know, these things would take care of themselves. You know, we have responsibilities, and I have to keep myself reined in, because I have always been a Martha person. I have been a doer. Get out there and do. Detail, detail, detail. And I'll admit it. And it's been a challenge in my life, and I have really had to bring myself in rein, you know. But you have to pick the thing that is needful. What is needful? To sit at the feet of Jesus for a few hours, and to gain knowledge, or to just keep going and going and going and going and going and get nothing. So when the enemy does hit you, you have nothing to stand on. So you see, Martha was in works. Mary had a relationship. Mary had a personal relationship. But Martha was all about works. Works, works, works. So we have to be careful ourselves that we don't get into works. You know, we have responsibilities, and I'm not saying you shrug your responsibilities. I am not saying that at all. We have responsibilities. We have to take care of things. But you have to pull yourself aside. There comes a time every day you need to pull yourself aside. You are the only one that can decide when and what time, because you know your schedule. But you need to pull yourself aside. You need to start immersing yourself in this word. This word is your lifeline. This word is your lifeline. Besides praying in tongues, you need to be reading the word. Because as you pray in tongues and you read the word and you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, He is going to bring you revelation knowledge of this word as you are praying in tongues. Isn't that cool? He'll start talking to you. I am serious. He will start talking to you. If you will quiet yourself down long enough to pray and to read and to think about what is in here, one day when you're just reading along or you're just praying, He's going to start talking to you, and He's going to bring up a certain passage of Scripture, or He's going to say, do you know about this or so back over here? He said, I'm going to show you what that means. And He is going to start bringing revelation knowledge to you for your life, that at the right time, you will be able to speak it into somebody else's life, being instant in season and out of season. Because all of us are here to increase the kingdom. All of us have our own little world around us that we get to minister to people. Kim has people at the school that she touches lives with that I wouldn't be able to touch lives with. Cindy has people's lives at the hospital that she can touch that nobody else can touch. Each one of you, Letty, you have friends where you live. You can touch their lives. But we have to be instant, in season, and out of season. Do you see? Do you see how that works? The things of God are not instantaneous. You have to work at them. You have to build trust. It's all about trust. God is not going to trust you with the things of the kingdom unless you prove yourself trustworthy to Him. The Holy Spirit yearns jealously for our time with Him. And that's in James. I'll let you try and find that one too. But He does. He yearns jealously for us and us to spend time with Him. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to teach us. But if we don't give Him that time, there's nothing He can do about it. He'll wait over here on the sidelines, and He will just wait patiently until we decide we want to pull aside and spend some time with Him. The Word of God is wisdom. The Word of God is health. The Word of God is peace. The Word of God is freedom. The Word of God is hope. The Word of God is truth and life to those who will find it. Why? Because Jesus is the Word. He is the living Word. And in Him is everything that we could ever possibly need or desire.